I was looking at the weather yesterday, noticing this beautiful heat up in the last 24 hours, and it said at 6 o'clock it was at 81 or 82 degrees. I thought, yes. And then I thought, I'm preaching tomorrow at 6 o'clock. No one's going to be there. This is great. Glad to see you all here. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, it is great to be here. It is great to hear your word. It is great that you have promised us your Holy Spirit. And we ask now, Lord, that you would engage our minds, engage our hearts, engage our wills, that you would teach us from the Scriptures. Lord, give us joyful, obedient, faithful, grace-filled response as we come to this word. Teach us what it looks like for our lives to be lived out of the abundance of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. Our world loves to expound on the virtues of womanhood. Unfortunately, much of what it has to say flies in the face of what the Scriptures teach. On one hand, women are known for their external beauty, and one's value is in her dress size or her physical attractiveness, her hair color. We see that all over advertising. We see that in sports events. We see that women are pictured as physical objects. And then there's a different extreme that is hostile against and reviles against any sort of difference between men and women, difference in the ways we were created, difference in the roles that we are to play. In a helpful book that my wife has read and heard from this woman, Mary Cassian writes about today's woman, and she says this: today's woman is entitled to have it all, what she wants, when she wants, and how she wants it. She has absolutely no need of men, though if she so desires, she may use them to cater to her own sexual desires. Today's woman knows and exercises her rights. No one tells her how to act or what to do. She is a woman, a goddess, and that gives her the right to decide for herself what is right. Well, the Scriptures have much to say about manhood and womanhood. And if you've been with us over these last weeks, you know that Kevin and I have been going through the book of Proverbs. And this evening we're going to talk about womanhood. What is an excellent woman? What do the Scriptures have to say about the glory of being a woman? The passage that we're going to read and study is Proverbs 31. And before we even turn there, I can guess that many of us, most of us, have a preconceived notion of this woman that we will read about in just a moment. Some of you may love her and admire her. Some of you may be annoyed by her because she is perfect and you don't want to have anything to do with that. Some of you may be angry with her because you have a different view about a woman's role and duties. Some of you, if you're college students or younger, you might think, I've never really thought about it. I haven't engaged this woman very much, so I don't have a lot of opinion about what my life should look like as I grow into womanhood. But my guess is many of you, especially the women in this room, feel like this woman that we read about in Proverbs 31 is an impossible measuring stick that no one can compare with. Well, instead of being a list of law, a list of this is what you should do, this is a picture of a woman that points us to Jesus Christ, both in her dependence on the Lord and in the way she images Christ for us. And we'll get into that in a few minutes. Matthew Henry calls this passage a looking glass for ladies, which ought to instruct women how to dress in the morning. When I look at the mirror in the morning, it is painfully realistic. And it shows my hair plastered against my head and a big red mark on this side where I'd slept and drool coming out down here. And there's no hiding what I look like when I look at my face in the mirror. But when he says this is a looking glass for ladies, this is what we ought to look like. And so we have something to make ourselves into. In fact, it's the representation of the work that Christ has done in us if we've trusted in Christ. It might not be our exterior yet, but it is the way Christ sees us. And so when we look at this picture, this looking glass, we can see, here's how I'm going to make myself up this morning. Not so concerned about what makeup to apply or what outfit to put on, but here are the characteristics, here are the qualities, here are the priorities that I'm going to put on as I prepare for the day. I want you to turn to Proverbs 31 if you're not there yet. It's on page 552 of the Blue Bibles. We're going to start in verse 10, and there are 22 verses in this section which correspond with the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. This is an acrostic. One might call this the ABCs of a godly woman. Literally, it goes down. Each verse corresponds with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And here's what we find. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. A woman can only be excellent in the Lord when her attitudes, actions, and worship flow from the abounding grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. A woman can only be excellent in the Lord when her attitudes, actions, and worship flow from the abounding grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to summarize for you from this passage three qualities of excellent women. The first is this: an excellent woman is oriented to the welfare of her husband. Look at verses 10, 11, and 12. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Now, I want to first make a note of clarification. Are we talking about women? Are we talking about wives? In verse 10, it says, an excellent wife. The word in Hebrew is the same for wife and women, or wife and woman. So you have to make a judgment call. Is this talking about a woman or a wife? In this case, it's talking about both. It's talking about a woman who is a wife. In the Hebrew Bible, Proverbs comes in a section of the scriptures called the Writings. And the immediately following book is the book of Ruth. And Ruth is the example of this excellent woman. In fact, in chapter 3, verse 11, Ruth is described by Boaz as a worthy woman. Worthy woman, and those are the two identical words that we have here in verse 10, excellent wife. So woman or wife, in chapter 3 of Ruth, she's not married. She's married at the beginning of the book and at the end of the book. But she's not married in chapter 3, and she's called a worthy woman. So here we have the description of an excellent wife or a worthy woman. Now, I want this to be applicable to all women and all of us in general. There, most of the application is going to come out as this wife relates to her husband and to her children. But I think there are principles and truths here for all women. So we'll proceed in that vein. This first point, however, relates specifically to how this woman functions as a wife. A woman has great power for good or for harm in the life of her husband. If you are unmarried, that might be with a brother or a father or a friend. But the scriptures specifically point out that a wife can be a great benefit or harm to her husband. Proverbs 12, verse 4 says, "The excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones." A noble or worthy woman has the ability to make her husband feel like a king. And tell you how many days I've come home after a hard day at work or just feeling tired or burned out or just tense. And the words that Kim can say to me, her physical touch, her care for me in serving me, make me feel like a king. A noble woman has the ability to bless her husband in a way that sets him apart and makes him feel like a king. But the opposite can also happen. That a woman who works ill for her husband is like rottenness in his bones, like he's decaying from the inside. She has power to spiritually, physically, emotionally tear down and destroy her husband. And so the Proverbs warn women about this kind of action, this kind of attitude. The Proverbs talk about discretion in women, and they urge men to avoid women of indiscretion. Proverbs 11:22 says, "A beautiful woman without discretion is like a gold ring in a pig's mouth." It's a very stark picture. You see this beautiful, costly piece of jewelry in the mouth of a pig. Now we know pigs roll in mud, in their own filth. They eat slop. But for a Jew reading this, the pig was the epitome of an unclean animal. And here is this precious piece of jewelry in the pig's mouth. It's ridiculous. It's just like it doesn't fit together. You think it doesn't matter how much I'm drawn to that gold ring, I'm not going for it because it's in a pig's mouth. So we are to avoid an indiscreet woman. Her beauty is fading and her true nature will be plain. So women ought to exercise discretion. Women are also warned against being a nag to their husbands. Listen to these Proverbs 25, 15, and 16. "A continual dripping on a rainy day and a quarrelsome wife are alike. To restrain her is to restrain the wind or to grasp oil in one's right hand." 21 verse 9. "It is better to live in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife." And 10 verses later. "It is better to live in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and fretful woman." These are painful descriptions. If you've ever gotten oil on your hand, it might be oil from a car or olive oil. It just gets on everything. You can't contain it. It smears everywhere. You ever tried holding back the wind? You can't do it. We had a picnic on our deck this afternoon because it was so beautiful, and the kids were very thoughtfully putting their flip-flops on the corner of the blanket to hold it down. Well, that didn't work because the wind tossed up our cups of water. I mean, you can't hold back the wind. If you have outside our window, we have a gutter that I don't keep very clean. And so when it rains, it drips over the gutter at night. And you just hear drip, drip, over and over and over. That is what the quarrelsome woman is like to her husband. But that's not the woman that we read about in chapter 31. Look at what it says in verse 11. It says, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good, not harm, all the days of her life. The Bible speaks almost exclusively of trusting in the Lord alone. When we use this verb trust, we want to put our faith in, our belief in, our trust in the Lord. But here in verse 11, we see that a husband rightfully puts his trust in his wife because she's for his good. If she's going to nag him, if she is indiscreet, he will not put his trust in her. But he will trust the woman who is at all times for his good, even if it might be painful, even if it might be a hard word at times. He knows, I can trust her because she is for me. She is with me. So the question is, what makes for a trustworthy woman? How does a woman orient herself for the welfare of her husband? I have a few thoughts from the passage. First, women ought to guard your hearts for your husband. The most repeated theme in the Proverbs is a warning to young men to flee from the adulteress. We see it in the first 9 chapters over and over and over as this father is pleading with his son, do not go after the adulteress. The same could be true of young women and women of any age. Do not go after the adulterer. Do not go after one who would lead you astray, lead your heart astray. Whether you are single, you want to guard your heart in preparation for a husband one day. Or if you are married, if there is any hint of indiscretion, you want to flee from it. There's any sense of spark that you might have with someone at work or with someone you've reconnected with online or someone even at church. You want to say, I need to remove myself from this situation because I need to guard my heart for my husband. I am for his good. And I need to make sure that I am remaining pure to him. A second thought. Women, you want to use your words to build up and demonstrate support of your husband's leadership rather than fighting him for it. Instead of quarreling, ask yourself, how can I better come under my husband's leadership right now? No one wants to be a constant drip. No one wants to be spilled oil. You might need to repent of how you've undermined his authority in your home. You might need to say, God, please help retrain me so that I would have a different choice of words, a different choice of tone when I'm speaking to him in a disagreement. Look for opportunities to affirm your husband and acknowledge your respect, your affection, your appreciation for his provision and leadership. Do you want to use your words to build him up, not quarrel, not fight against him? And the third thought. Verse 12 says that an excellent wife is to work for her husband's good all of her days. Ask yourself, how do I profit my husband, even before profiting myself? How can I better support and serve him so that he has more opportunity, more influence with others, more time to do what God has gifted him to do, more time to spend with the kids, more in ministry. Verse 23 says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. The excellent woman adds to the reputation of her husband. She is enabling him to have that kind of reputation in the community. The excellent woman who orients herself to the good of her husband is rare. By her own strength, no woman can consistently look to her husband's good. But this woman finds strength from the Lord Jesus, who himself is an example of one who submitted his will to the Father's and who looked to the welfare of others before his own, so that others would be blessed, so that others would have good all their days, so that we would reap the benefits of his kindness to us. Women, you have an incredible example in the Lord Jesus of one who submitted his will and looked to the good of others. Who can find such a woman? The proverb asks. She is far more precious than jewels. A noble, excellent wife is a wonderful gift from the Lord. 18:22 says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing. It is favor from the Lord." That's the first quality, that an excellent woman is oriented to the welfare of her husband. Second quality, an excellent woman provides for her household. The majority of chapter 31, from beginning in verse 13 all the way down to 27, is a description of all the actions that she does on behalf of her household. This woman is not passive or timid or lazy or a wallflower. She is not helpless without her husband, nor is she confined to her home. She doesn't watch soap operas or twiddle away hours on Facebook. Instead, she exerts great energy on behalf of her family in order to provide for their welfare. One author writes, "The capable wife is administrator, trader, craftswoman, philanthropist, and guide whose influence spreads far beyond her home, though it is centered there and though her achievements are, as she would wish, valued most of all for their contribution to her husband's fortune and good standing." Much of this description could be summed up in Proverbs 14:1, which says, "The wisest of women builds her house." We're not going to go into the details of all the description here. This woman lived 3,000 years ago, so there are many things in this passage that we don't have to do. Thanks be to God. We are not here to talk about what the distaff is or to encourage everyone to go out and begin planting vineyards in your backyard. We live in a different culture. There are different ways that we provide. But what we can see here is that this woman provides. We also see how she provides it. So first we're going to look at a few things that she provides and then how she provides. This woman provides food for her family. Verse 14 says, "She is like the ships of the merchant." That might not sound glamorous, but I think that is high praise to say, like the merchants who sail in from afar, she is out bringing in food for her family. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. Remember, there isn't Meijer down the way. There isn't refrigeration or canned food. Whatever food needed to be consumed in a day most likely had to be purchased and prepared that same day. So the reason she had to rise so early in the morning while it was still night is because she had to go get the food that was necessary for a breakfast meal, come back, prepare it, so that her husband or others in the household could eat and then be off to work while it's still early in the day. Now, thankfully, we have many conveniences that make it so that we don't have to start food preparation like bakers do. We don't have to start in the middle of the night. But this woman demonstrates that she will go to all costs in order to provide food for her household. This woman provides her family with clothing and with bedding. Verse 13 says, "She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands." Later it says, "She makes bed coverings for herself. She makes linen garments. She delivers sashes. She is a seamstress. She is good with her hands." Now remember again, she can't go to Bed Bath & Beyond and pick up a set of sheets for the kids' bed or order the next size of clothes on landsend.com. She has to go and acquire the wool either by shaving it herself or buying it from someone. She has to weave them into some kind of material and then stitch together linen, stitch together clothing. Now, thankfully, we don't have to go through those steps. But this woman is demonstrating her care by providing materially for her family. She also provides additional income to the household. In verse 18, it says, "She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. And in 24, she delivers sashes to the merchant. She makes linen garments and sells them. This woman really is remarkable. At this point, you might throw up your hands and say, I don't know how this woman does it all. She's got this side business at Etsy. She's sewing things, making things on the side. Well, there are different seasons in a person's life, and there are different amounts of things that a person can handle at different points. But the point is that this woman is creative and resourceful in helping meet the household's needs, and she's able to do it in a way that's in line with her gifting. Obviously, she's interested in making clothing and garments and linens for her house, so she's continuing in that vein and sewing more and selling the leftover things for profit. She's also able to do it in a way that doesn't take away from her other responsibilities in the home. And lastly, she provides instruction. Verse 26 says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of her kindness is on her tongue." The excellent woman teaches those in her household. We see throughout Proverbs that the children are to heed their father's counsel and to pay attention to their mother's teaching. Mothers have great opportunities to teach their children. And whether or not you homeschool your kids, you have so many moments in a day to point them to Jesus, to teach them how to respond in a situation that didn't go your way. You can even teach them, probably most effectively, through your own failings and saying, "I sinned in this response right here. This is not how the Lord would have me respond." Women, you have a great opportunity to teach. And this woman is teaching the teaching of kindness, it says. She's teaching them the fruit of the Spirit through her words, through her actions. Now, just as importantly as what she provides, we see from this text how she provides them. This woman works diligently. 7 times in 22 verses, we see a reference to her hands. Even though this woman had servants in her household, she worked with her hands. She was out there planting the vineyard herself. She was working hard with her hands, getting in the nitty-gritty. We see that she's up while it's still dark, and she has made sure that the lamps will burn all night long. Verse 18 says, her lamp does not go out at night. Does she ever sleep? She's up early, she's up late. Well, I don't think that this is saying she doesn't ever sleep. You need sleep. She needs to sleep. So the lamp that burns all night long is the woman who is prepared well for her household. This is like the nightlight that stays on all night long. She's anticipated, provided for it, means the house is financially secure to burn a lamp all night long. She's worked diligently to provide for her family in that way. This woman works willingly. Look at verse 13. She works with willing hands. There's an eagerness, a delight in her work. Not because her work is always delightful, but because of her delight in the ones she serves. The godly woman works without complaining as she toils for the service, honor, and benefit of others. It is not glamorous work changing diapers, but it is glamorous work to raise a child for the glory of God. And diapers is one piece of that. This woman is generous. Verse 20 says, she opens her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not just concerned about the needs of the welfare of those in her household, but within her community and those who are in want. And so she's opening up her hands to generously give to others. The tasks of a godly woman, no matter how mundane they may seem, are all an expression of her servant heart on behalf of her household. You might not have a husband or children. Maybe your household is your parents or an elderly relative or girlfriends who share an apartment with you or your small group or a ministry you're a part of. Whoever it is that you're serving, we are to do it with willing hands, with diligence and joy in the Lord. A typical day in our home involves at least 3 loads of laundry, which involves carrying baskets to the basement, sorting, cleaning, drying, folding, dispersing to several different bedrooms and children and putting away. It involves food prep and cleanup from three meals, which end up all becoming multi-course meals, either because there wasn't enough food or there was inadequate food. More food must be brought out throughout the meal. Naps for various people at various times, so that someone is either preparing to go down for a nap because they're cranky, or they're groggy because they've just woken up from a nap, or the house is quiet because someone is sleeping somewhere. There are invariably accidents of some bodily fluid by one of the children. There's always or often a surprise from our elderly beloved dog left somewhere. And on top of that, we try to have some sense of normalcy in what we do. We try to keep our children fed and clothed. And my wife does a beautiful job of teaching them and training them in the Lord. Whether your household looks at all like our household or whether it looks completely different, whatever place the Lord has for you, women, He is calling you to serve and provide for those in your midst. It's an act of love to your families and most of all to the Lord. When you are exhausted by the endless demands on your time from morning till night, or overwhelmed by the pile of dishes in the sink, or bored out of your minds by the monotony of folding one more pair of socks, remember that your work is a service first of all to the Lord. Proverbs 31 gives us a picture of a woman who does all that it takes to care for the needs of her household, and she does it willingly and diligently as an act of worship to God. This is a picture of a woman yielded to the Lord Jesus, who, think again about Jesus' example, who himself has provided all things for the household of God. So here we have this woman expending great energy on behalf of those she loves. She is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who expended all of his life on behalf of those he loves. The excellent woman provides for her household. Third quality, an excellent woman fears the Lord. The excellent woman fears the Lord. This is really the most important quality, and it's the one upon which the others hang. Think about a clothes hanger. You go home tonight and you hang up your shirt. You put it on the clothes hanger. The hanger is this metal frame that holds the shirt in place so that the shirt can hang just as it's supposed to look. Well, the shirt is like all these activities that this woman is doing. It's her character. It's all the externals that we see. Well, the frame is her trust in the Lord. Without that frame, it'd just be a pile of cloth on the floor. Look what the end of the chapter says, verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. I want you to notice what this woman is not afraid of. She's not afraid of snow and cold weather. We see that in verse 21. She's ready for winter. She's ready for cold weather. She's ready for the hard season. Some of us can feel quickly burdened by seasons of difficulty, but this woman is not afraid of the coldest weather because she's prepared, and her children are well clothed for the winter. The scout motto could have come from the Proverbs 31 woman: be prepared. If anyone has raised young children, you know the necessity of being prepared. Coming even to church requires you to bring with you a portable kitchen, a portable bathroom, and a portable closet, all within some sort of nice, fancy little bag that you have it all there. Just imagine what it's like to stay for the potluck after church. That requires five times as much to bring. Or to go to Grandma and Grandpa's house across the state. Or to drive even farther. What if your husband has a job that takes you to a new place? You need to be prepared. You need to work ahead. You need to work hard. Proverbs would encourage the excellent woman to be prepared. So So she's not afraid of snow or cold weather. She's not afraid of the future. Look at verse 25. She laughs at the time to come, not because she's haughty, but because of her trust in the Lord. And she knows that her future is in His hands. Many of us fear the future and struggle with anxiety because we don't know how to deal with the unknown. Now, we can't know what the Lord has for us. We don't know if we are single, if the Lord will provide a spouse, if He'll provide children, if we have children, what will become of them. He doesn't know. We don't know what will become of our health. Will it improve? Will it fail? We don't know what our days have for us, but the Lord does. And if we are His, and if we have trusted in Him, then we know that not a hair can fall from our heads without the will of our Father in heaven. So the more that we see who the Lord is in all His power and glory, the more we see who we are as His beloved children, the more we can rest secure in His loving, providential hands. This woman's hope is in what the Lord has done and will bring. And so she can laugh at the future because she's not hoping in what she can do or what she will become. Her trust is in the Lord. This woman is not afraid of what others think of her physical appearance. We should take note that in 22 verses, we get very little description about her physical appearance. The only mention of beauty is found in verse 30 that says, "Beauty is vain." Instead, we see a description of how this woman is adorned with the beauty of her character. It says she clothes herself with strength and dignity in verse 25. And her attractiveness comes from her intimacy with the Lord. Men, single men, what qualities are you looking for in a woman? Do you want to find an excellent wife, a noble woman? Then you need to value the qualities that the Scriptures teach and esteem for such a woman. So if you're interested in just someone who will turn heads, just someone who will excite you in the present, you need to remember that beauty is vain. It's fleeting. It's going to go like everything else. It's not that physical attraction isn't an important thing. There's another book that was written similar to the time of Proverbs, Song of Songs, that spends its whole time talking about the importance of romance, the importance of passion within marriage, the importance of sex. So it's not that these are unimportant topics, but that physical beauty, outward beauty, physical attractiveness pales in comparison to the beauty that comes from the character of one who trusts in the Lord. So this woman doesn't fear what people think of her outward appearance. But there is one that she does fear. Verse 30 says that she fears the Lord. The root of a woman's lasting beauty and character change comes from a holy reverence and awe of the one true God. That is the basis of her praise. That is the basis for her salvation. And this is why this woman provides the perfect ending to the book of Proverbs, because she epitomizes wisdom. Throughout this book, we have two different pictures. Here's the picture of the wise person. Here's the picture of the fool. Here's the road that the wise go on. Here's the road that the fool goes on. And it becomes plain. Of course we want to be the wise person. Well, this woman epitomizes wisdom. Proverbs 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." This woman fears the Lord, and so she embodies wisdom. And we see it in her worth, in her actions, in her praise. She works hard because she reveres the Lord. She serves her family because she reveres the Lord. She is a help to her husband because she reveres the Lord. She's not a perfect woman. She does not fulfill her responsibilities perfectly without sometimes getting angry or jealous at other women. She'll get tired out and bitter. But rather than being defined by her sin, she is defined by her one great fear, the Lord God. She knows the Lord. She's shaped by Him on a daily basis, and she waits upon Him for help. for character development, for victory over sin. She waits upon him for strength and a submissive attitude to her husband. She waits upon him for a servant's heart to the endless demands of her children. She waits upon him for every hope and desire. She waits upon him for salvation. A woman can only be truly excellent and noble and worthy when she trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. So women, when you look at this, when you gaze into this looking glass in Proverbs 31, what do you see? Do you see an impossible list of requirements that defeat you and frustrate you, anger you? Or do you see the beautiful picture of a woman yielded to the Lord, trusting in Him, changed by Him, empowered by Him to serve those He's put in her life? I hope you see the second. And as you do, that you will invite the Lord to make you more and more like the woman you see in the looking glass. Will you pray with me? Father God, we give you praise and thanks for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the example that you have set before us, both women and men. Your Son subjected His will to yours. He looked to our good instead of His own good. He served Himself with every ounce of life that He had and poured out His life, His blood on the cross to atone for our sins. Oh God, we pray that You would be at work in us, each one of us, in whatever station of life that we find ourselves, that we might look to Christ, both for our own salvation and as the source of life, that we might be that kind of servant, that we might be that kind of person who would put someone above us. Lord, we want to thank you especially for the women in our lives, for the moms that have taught us, grandmothers and aunts, for the wives that you have blessed us with, for daughters that we are raising. Oh God, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be at work in these women, that their trust would be in you alone, and from your grace, that you would abound in them more and more, that their lives would reflect the character of Christ that you've declared them to be. For your praise and glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.